What is ambition? What does it look like? Are you born with it? Or can it be taught? Here at Digitent, we want to understand how leaders harness ambition to reach their goals and sustain it in the long term. Here on the show, we talk with marketing executives about their rise to leadership positions and the role ambition plays in their organizations and in their professional success. Today on a call, I interview my longtime colleague, friend, and ambitious marketer, Brian Hankin, Senior Vice President of Strategy, Innovation, and Business Development at Consolidated Container Company.
Okay, cool. So, we're defining ambition here as just really a strong desire to do or achieve something, requiring determination and hard work. So just, like you think of ambition, in the good way. Not like you're climbing the corporate ladder, stepping on people.
Right.
So the question is, what role has ambition played in your journey to becoming a marketing leader, would you say?
Yeah. The idea is constantly sort of questioning, challenging the status quo, identifying a vision for how things could be better, and then a plan to put in place to make it happen. And so when I think about all of the challenges, both on a macro level and then specific capabilities we want to build, I think that fits your definition of ambition. How do we honestly evaluate what we're doing, how we can do it better, how we can set goals and then achieve those goals? So I can talk about some of those specific things we worked on or are working on, but that's our perspective.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, if you have a specific example of something that you feel like kind of embodies ambition, in the frame of your innovation and marketing organization.
Yeah. One is establishing a world-class and definitely best-in-industry capability around digital marketing that seamlessly integrates to our CRM and our marketing automation and sort of digital campaign development. And so we are, is the business. And in our industry, there are very few, I think, companies that attack that landscape very well. So I think there's an opportunity for us to lead. And the reason we would do that is the assumption that if we become, sort of a world-class digital marketer, then we can generate leads and ultimately business through that channel. So that's something we set out to do. I early on identified that as a capability gap and then did some investigation, what we would need to do to become a leader in that space. And we've been working for the better part of the year on building those capabilities, overhauling our CRM system, implementing a marketing automation system, overhauling our website. And now we're sort of on the path of generating content that we can populate and push out to interested parties and prospects and then build that. We've been building the engine. We're going to, look to ignite it this year.
Cool. Is that kind of in lockstep with sales? Are you working closely with sales to drive lead generation? And
yeah, sales, yes. So we also, as part of my team, is responsible for sales enablement, sales training, value selling. The salespeople don't report to our organization. They report to the business units, but we're responsible for giving them what they need to effectively do their jobs. And so, yes, we're aligned with sales to not just kind of be good relationship owners and account owners with our customers, but to proactively partner with our customers to work with them on innovative packaging solutions. So, the easy sale for us is customer needs new packaging. We propose on it. It's an RFP. We, put our best foot forward and hopefully win the RFP. A much, much better type of relationship is where we are, through partners of theirs, bringing ideas to them, bringing insights to them, bringing our thinking on what's going on in their business and how packaging can be a lever that they can use to help them grow their businesses and their brands. And so we're trying to evolve and escalate the conversations that we have, and also expand the conversations So that we're not just talking to procurement people, and we're also talking to the packaging engineers, and we're also talking to the brand people and the business owners. So because they're interested in, they don't care what kind of packaging it is, as long as it's helping them to grow their business and their brands.
Do you think this, like, as you try to organize your teams and pull people together on projects and work together, do you feel that ambition, this sort of restless discontent that you describe, is a teachable thing? Do you try to train your team on that, or do they come by it naturally, or how do you see that playing in?
I think some people come by naturally and some don't. And from a recruiting standpoint, we are very focused on our guiding principles. We have 7 guiding principles. And I don't know if there's one that I would turn to and specifically say there's around ambition or restless discontent, but we do look for that kind of spirit that we call sometimes, you know, when we're recruiting, recruiter is a fire in the belly when we're recruiting folks. Now, on the sales side, we had a specific objective this past year to supplement and improve our sales team, and we did deploy a sort of an assessment, a sales capability assessment, and part of that is ambition or sort of passion and colloquially fire in the belly. Does that person really want to get up every day and drive the business? We do think it's important at every level and every function at Consolidated. And it's a must-have, we think, in many parts of the sales organization.
What sort of advice might you give rising marketer trying to get into a leadership position about that kind of almost intangible, I guess, that fire in the belly, that ambition?
Yeah.
What would you say?
I think a good player, a good team member would do an excellent job on the work that is assigned to them, the requests that are made of them, and their specific, we have what we call responsibilities, roles, and expectations. They're basically their job description and what they're evaluated on. A great player or team member would be someone that proactively thinks of how we can always do it better, how he or she could do his or her job better, differently, how we can better function as an organization, even if it's outside his or her roles and responsibilities. If I look for and appreciate are people that come to me and say, I was thinking about this aspect, and I think if we rethink this or do this differently, do this better, we can either do it more efficiently, save money, be more effective, et cetera. And so that, to me, is the difference between someone that is a valuable member on the team and someone that is an absolutely critical up-and-comer on the team. There's a difference there. Someone that wants to do more, that's thinking ahead and proactively kind of suggesting better, different ways of approaching the business.
Great. Well, as that plays out in your overall organizational, sort of, I guess, measurement of success, how do you, I guess, internally and with your team and as part of your, you know, everybody has their metrics, whether it's data or whether it's sales, how do you guys decide whether or not you're succeeding?
Well, so as a organization, we tend to assign metrics to any project we're working on, and that's a pretty objective measure of are we making progress or not. If it's a sales initiative, then it's kind of clear cut. You know, are we increasing number of leads or number of sales, et cetera. Any other responsibility, part of our roles, responsibilities, and expectations, I try to encourage my team to be as clear and quantitative as possible on the expectations part of it. So if it's we want to test this idea with end users or with a customer, we want to do it by certain time frame and be complete by whenever. In other words, putting metrics to projects makes it really clear as to whether or not we achieve those goals. And the same is true with me. So in my own RREs, there are things that I sort of hit the target on and things that I didn't. And I have to be accountable for the ones that I said I was going to do and didn't get done. And that does impact one's kind of upward mobility, bonus, et cetera. Externally, it would be about anything measurable. So if it's on the manufacturing side, it might be around, you know, cost to make, you know, efficiency. If it's on the sales side or business development side, it's around measurable leads in the funnel that we then track through CRM into closed business.
Got it. You know, given that those types of goals, are there any particular, I guess, you know, current marketing challenges that you'd say kind of you're focused on that keep you up at night, that you're primarily is driving your energy right now?
And what I'm really focused on 2019 is business-to-business lead generation. So we have spent a lot of time and effort building fundamental capabilities. And I think we have now, you know, best in practice, best in industry capability, the foundation. And now we need to build upon that foundation to actually generate sales growth, generate business. I think it is all about coming down to, you know, comes down to growing the business, or at least growing more than your fair share. Really, at the end of the day, nothing else matters. And when you're on the agency side and the consulting side, which, you know, I spent a lot of time on, you're a little bit removed from that. Okay, so the objective is sometimes we work with agency partners and they say, well, we can do this, this, and this, and it'll cost you this amount of money. And the response, the thought process, sometimes I say it, sometimes I don't, is that going to help us grow the business? And if I can't say yes, then it's a bet that is likely not worth taking. That's the difference. You know, you're in an agency. I was in a consulting company for a long time. You know, I'm not sure that providers often think about that. At the end of the day, value creation is measurable business growth. It might be a little too, you know, it could be an efficiency thing or whatever, but generally speaking, you know, the metrics that show that it has, that has brought quantifiable value to the business, as opposed to a smart strategy that, that might never be implemented. Good ad or a good, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you would say is kind of, you know, from growing the business, is there anything that you see as a major challenge right now that, you know, sort of you have to try to overcome in the industry or particularly in the business?
Challenges as relates to the business? No, I think it's, well, yes, a hurdle for us is, as I said before, to evolve and escalate and expand our relationships with customers and becoming true sort of value-added partners in their packaging needs. And so they need to see us as people that can help drive their businesses forward, just in the same way I was talking about how we think about our internal work. Mm-hmm. If we can't show that, then we're just a vendor. And not to say there's not a place for us or companies like us in the BB context, but that place is much lower down on the totem pole than someone who is seen as an expert, as a resource, as a partner that's helping them, that understands their industry, understands their concerns, their needs, and how we can help them together grow their business.
You can hear more broadcasts like this one at thedigitent.com/insights.